we're starting a new series tonight called Home Improvement. And as you can probably guess from the title of the series of Home Improvement, that it's going to have something to do with most of the messages, something to do with family. But I think you'll see as the messages unfold that it has even more to do with Jesus and who he is. And so I just want to encourage you that tonight's message is titled Men and Women Are Different and the Same. And we're going to talk some about marriage, at least in the outset. But if you are not married, if you are younger and not married or older and not married or whatever, I just want to encourage you to stay tuned anyway, because we're going to be digging into the Word of God. And when you get into the Word of God, His Spirit uses that in ways that we sometimes don't really expect. So even if it's a sermon that seems to be starting out to do with marriage and you're thinking, okay, well, great, I picked a bad night to come because I'm not married right now. That's not the case. There is something in the message for all of us, because I think you'll see by the end of it that it's, well, yeah, and you might, and you might. Well, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I've been to worship services before where the pastor said what he's going to be preaching about, and I just knew from the, I was like, this has nothing to do with me. But I stayed tuned anyway, because a lot of times, but when I leave there, the person I run into at the gas station 30 minutes later, that's exactly who the message is for. And I can share what I heard in the message with that person. So hopefully, you might even take something away to be a blessing to somebody else. Or it may bless you later. So as we get ready to start the message, we're going to have a short video. And I know a few of you have probably seen this before, but it still makes me laugh.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail.
See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just.
Don't.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out. We can work it out.
You probably get the feeling in the message from the video that men and women are a little different in some ways. It's funny, but it's true. And even the way that we use the word different, I think, is different sometimes. Like if Kim, we've started a new diet, a Whole30 diet, which I'm really thankful for. I'm glad. I feel better. But we're trying new ways of eating, new recipes and stuff. And if Kim tried out a recipe on me and asked me what I thought, I might say, oh, that was different, you know, because it was different. But because I say it's different, she might be hearing, great, you really hate my cooking. You really hate what I made. Just because sometimes men and women approach things in a little bit of a different way, sometimes we need an interpreter. We did marriage counseling early in our marriage with a pastor and his wife, and you find out pretty quick, like you say one thing, but the other person hears something totally different. No, we have been, but not at that point, no. But God did a work anyway. You know, God is so creative, and He designed men and women differently in some ways that we would be different, but he loves, it's not just men and women. God loves variety, and so even with young and old, there's a lot of differences. I was thinking about the music that we listen to, and I know there's all kinds of different tastes, but you know, a lot of times with teenagers, they're listening to things that are maybe a little louder, and maybe the message sometimes is a little bit about the struggles that they're having, or you know, whatever it may be, or you know, just the difficulties of young romance. And older people kind of have different tastes sometimes, you know, with what they like to listen to. And I saw a video the other day on YouTube. It was obviously for kids. It was a song about burping. It was really funny, just this animated video I came across. And but I thought, you know, anybody probably over 10 years old is not going to go out and buy this song. But we're so different. It was a really cute video, though. But God is the amazing thing is that with all this diversity of how God makes people, that somehow he brings us together and makes a family out of men and women and young and old and generations and just our different ways that we do things. And it's amazing. Really, it's a miracle that somehow it works out. But the Lord's intentional to do this, but he has specific ways that he wants marriage to be approached. He has ways for a husband to be a husband, and he has ways for a wife to be a wife. And those are general guidelines. There's, you know, there's individuality and things that come into play, and we're not all the same. You know, and every wife's not the same. Every husband's not the same, of course. But there's general guidelines. God has a design of sorts of how to knit families together, and we find that if we follow that, things work a lot better. And the centerpiece of that is that Jesus needs to be the head over everything, over everyone and everything. And when that happens, when Jesus is the head over everything, there's a lot more love and a lot more grace and forgiveness with all the mess, because no matter what, there's some mess, but Jesus brings in grace and truth when he's the head. I mentioned Kim and I, when we were first married, we both would have identified ourselves as Christians, but we brought a lot of mess, and that mess really sparked into an inferno at times. Some of our arguments were pretty bad. Our first marriage counselors, who was like the most cool, awesome retired pastor I knew, and his wife, who was like the greatest prayer warrior we've ever met, quit on us. they met with us for however, at a couple months maybe, and eventually just said, you know what, we're sorry, we love you guys, but we can't help you. But they passed us off to somebody who could, to a pastor and his wife, so that was good. They knew where to send us. You know, that's a great answer if you don't know, and I give that to people a lot. I don't know the answer, but I can send you to somebody who does. So that's what they did, and it was just really cool that we began to learn, though, in our counseling with this pastor and his wife, that the Creator, because he made us and he created marriage and he created families and he knows how to make it all work together a lot better than we do. And he has a purpose in it that sometimes we miss. We don't really understand. We think it's that marriage and family is about us because we're in it, when really that's not the main point of families. I'm sure a lot of you would probably agree that most families, or many families at least in our culture, are definitely in trouble these days in the times we live in. I think part of that, I don't want to oversimplify, but part of it is they just don't follow God's schematic, his design for how to do families. And I know it's still messy. I know it's still hard. That's just, you know, family life. But I think if we understand God's design for family relationships and we understand the purpose of those relationships, specifically for marriage, that tends to make things work a whole lot better for us. In Romans 8, 28 and 29, if you have your Bible or if you have an app, or you can jot this down if you want, look it up later, or just look up on the screen. Starting in verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I want to stop there for just a second and just a scriptural pet peeve of mine. I love the NIV here, and I'm not promoting one translation over another. I use a lot of translations all the time, and probably not the NIV as much as some others, but the NIV does a great job here of saying God works in all things. A lot of the other translations, a little bit incorrectly, or I think not as good anyway, they say all things work to good. We go through a lot of hard things that we look at in our life, a lot of heartache and turmoil and just things, and we think, this thing is not working for my good. This thing is terrible, and you're right, it is. You know, there are a lot of things that are just part of being in a broken, messed up world that are not necessarily good, but the good thing is God. That God is so awesome that he can take things, if we put our trust in him, even things that are messed up and that broken and terrible, and somehow do a redeeming work, somehow bring some good out of that for us, maybe to encourage somebody else with what we've been through and what he's brought us through. So God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And then in verse 29, for, and this is how we know that God is working for our good, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So I don't want us to miss that. It's saying that God is working in the good and the bad. On the happy sunshiny day when your honey brings you some flowers and it's a great day, and on the day when they didn't get enough sleep and they're a little bit grumpy and just not very nice, you know. But God's working in everything for a reason. For a reason. He's working in everything to conform us to the image of his son. And that's in everything. Everything in your life, including marriage and your other relationships. So that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. One of God's purposes in marriage, done God's way, is to make us more like Jesus. And it helps so much when the light bulb goes on and you get that. When you're in a relationship and you understand, and this goes for friendships and other relationships as well, not just marriage, but focusing on marriage, when you understand that the purpose in this is to make me more like Jesus, it totally flips how you look at it. It gives you a whole different mindset, because if you think that it's just about you being happy 24/7, there's a lot of times you're really not happy. And then you don't get it. You're like, everything's broken. Nothing. I don't see God working in this because I'm not happy. And if you understand, well, the point isn't necessarily, not that he's against your happiness, but the point is not your happiness, at least immediate happiness. The point is that you become conformed to the image of a son. You become more like Jesus, which brings a joy that's greater than any temporary happiness anyway. So that's the point of marriage. That's one of the main reasons for marriage, is to help us better understand also the relationship between Jesus and the church, Scripture tells us, between Jesus and us, the people who make up his church. In Ephesians 5:33, this is a good summary verse for this section of Scripture. And this part of Scripture talks a lot about husbands and wives. You can take a look at it later, but Ephesians 5 focuses a lot on that. But in verse 33, it says, "So again I say to you, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And I'm sure it's pretty obvious. God gave different commands here. They're very similar, but they're not the same. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't, because I think to men that's what communicates love, that it communicates value. Right. That expression of love for a woman communicates that you value her, and expressions of respect to a man communicates I value you. But you'll notice there's a difference there, and so God acknowledges in Scripture, in many different places and in many ways, that there are some differences between men and women. And he put us into a relationship, but he gives us a command that's a little different. For the husband, his command matches a need for the wife that's one of her greater needs, and for the wife, a command that's one of the husband's greater needs, because it communicates value to them in a way that, to their heart language, it really speaks to them. So husbands are to love their wives because one of the wife's greatest needs is to see expressed love, not just communicating, not just words, not just saying, but a wife needs to see expressions of love from a husband. And the command, it's even stronger in Ephesians 5:25. And here it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So this really is upping the level of love here, because it's saying, listen, we're not just talking about a human love. We're not just talking about emotions, and we're not just talking about what you can do in your own ability. This is saying you need to love in a sacrificial way, really a supernatural way. You need to love in a way that really models Jesus' love for the church. Well, what did Jesus do? He laid aside all of his rights, went to the cross, and sacrificially loved. And so that's how we're to love. I think that if a husband ever feels like, you know, well, I've loved all I can, and I've loved so much, and I've just given, you know, everything I can, you know, we need to keep, as men, Tony, I know you can hear me back there. I think as men, though, you know, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus as our example of love, of how a husband is to love. Because we need to understand that it's not about necessarily how my spouse reacts. It's not about my love language and how I want to express love. It's, am I loving sacrificially in a way that expresses love, that she has no doubt, that my spouse has no doubt that she's loved. That's how we're to love. The Bible also makes it clear that we love not only in words and in deeds, but there's no out here. There's no clause. There's nothing that says, unless your spouse doesn't get really thankful about it or have a lot of gratitude or doesn't respond with the same back to you. It just says do it. Regardless of how your spouse responds, regardless of whether they seem appreciative or not, and that's really tough. That's really, and I'm just telling you, I think if I ask every single person here who's ever been married would agree with that and say, you're right. To show love and respect and value to somebody when they don't appreciate it, especially if it's ongoing, is terribly difficult. It's a hard thing to do. But I read a story about a barber, and it was in a two-barber barber shop, and this barber was talking to his partner, and he's kind of bragging. He just said, you know, I've been married for 10 years, and in 10 years of marriage, I've never had to buy my wife a bouquet of flowers, and we're still married. So during the lunch, the other barber snuck out, and he went down to a local florist, and he ordered some flowers for the barber who'd been saying that for the other guy's wife, and sent it in that barber's name. And the barber, the next day, the one barber who was married came in, and he said, I don't know what happened. I came home last night. My wife had this candlelit dinner on the table. She had the kids at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and she was just, you had this spring in her step and this glow in her eyes, and I don't know what was going on, but I just went with it. It was great. You know, sometimes I think we underestimate the difference it can make. I'm sorry, honey, I haven't bought you flowers for a while. She's looking at me, and it's really funny. It's really funny, because tell them what came up on your Facebook.
I had no idea what he was preaching about today, and I said, oh, look, honey, I said, this came up on my timeline on Facebook. It was from 4 years ago. And
four, maybe five.
It was 4 years
okay.
ago.
So, guilty. You know, the tragic thing is that a lot of times we can get to where we ignore our spouse. We don't think we do. You know, we put in time, but that's not the same as expressing love to them. You know, whenever, and I won't dwell on this too much, but whenever a spouse is unfaithful, it really, you know, they have to own that. That's their choice. But at the same time, if there's ongoing unmet emotional needs that, you know, somebody's just not, they're taking their spouse for granted for years, it's tough, because, you know, Satan uses that. He'll send somebody to pay a lot of attention to them, you know, emotionally and otherwise. And so that just to say that, you know, all of us need to be We do. We need to be aware. We need to understand that it really matters. Your spouse really, your loved one needs you to show them that they are valued and that they matter to you. Because it sets an opportunity for the devil to come in and wreak some havoc sometimes. So we need to do that. There was an article in an online journal called Two of Us at twoofus.org, and it was talking about, it's something I read about on a Christian site. Don't go there. It's a site that actually helps arrange for married people to go have affairs. And they said that the busiest times they have for signups, when people go to this website and sign up for their services, are the day after Valentine's Day. Day after Valentine's Day and the day after Mother's Day. 2 days for women when they really feel neglected. And so, again, just to say, husbands and wives, but husbands need to really do a good job expressing love. And sometimes it's just cluelessness. You know, if the love's in here, it just needs to come out. You know, it just needs to be expressed. So we all need to do well with that. On to the wives. Wives are to respect their husbands because men need to be built up and believed in. They need to respect their husbands because men need to be built up and believed in. This communicates value to a man. That's one of, really, I can just tell you as a guy, that's one of the greatest gifts that you can ever give to a man in your life is to communicate that you believe in them. You know, whoever they are, whatever they're into. And one of the reasons is that men tend to push away or avoid people who doubt them and people who criticize them a lot. A lot of times men push that away. It can be damaging to them, so they avoid that. And so that's you want to praise the husband with your communication. You want to show appreciation. You want to show that you're trying to honor him and trying to follow his lead when he's leading and encourage that. Jeremiah the prophet was in a hard time during his ministry. And during this time in his ministry when he was really struggling, in Jeremiah 9:2, it says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people, that I might leave my family and go from them." And he's saying, you know, there are times where hanging out with my family is really hard, where hanging out with my people is difficult. Sometimes they just drive me crazy, and there's all kinds of mess. And I wish I had some lodge somewhere or a, you know, man cave, or I wish I had somewhere that I could just get away from the mess and the doubts and the criticism and everything. And sometimes, ladies, sometimes you don't maybe know that there's days when your husband in a workplace or even among friends or wherever that they just feel beat up by the world, you know, and they just need a refuge somewhere where people believe in them. They need, especially at home, they need to be able to come home and believe that there's somebody who values me and believes in me. You know, even though I make a lot of missteps, that at least when I do make a good step, they're going to recognize that and try to encourage me. And so husbands need to really see that. Wives, in a sense, need to be that haven, that place there after being beat up in the world and other people throwing temptations and doubts and fears at them, that they can go to their wife and feel like that's a place where they're going to be encouraged. For husbands and wives, we need to obey these commands even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like it. This was Kim, would you agree this was a big light bulb? I know it was for me when this came on in our counseling, getting past your feelings. Because there's times you really don't feel like expressing love. There's times you really don't feel like showing respect because the other person honestly doesn't deserve it. With how they're acting, they don't deserve it. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That's real, and it's a struggle. But we still need to obey that command. And I think part of the key to doing that, and what's kind of special about Christian marriage, it makes Christian marriage a little different, even though there are struggles, is that you have to decide to live supernaturally instead of naturally. Because naturally, you're going to look at situations with a spouse or loved one or even kids. You know, with other, you're going to look at a relationship and you're going to say, They don't deserve it. I know that as a Christian, I'm to show grace. I know I'm supposed to forgive. But man, they don't deserve it because I did already last time and they blew it again. Doesn't matter. Right. That's where your love needs to get supernatural. Even if your spouse is not doing their part to communicate what they should be. In our flesh, you know, in our selfishness, our sinfulness, it makes sense to just give up on people. But that's not what Christ does, and that's not our example that we're supposed to follow. God, remember what's the point of marriage? To conform us to the image of his son, to make us more like Jesus. And so, that's right. He loved people who didn't deserve that love. He forgave people who didn't deserve that forgiveness. That's what we're called to. As Christians, that's what we're called to. And so supernaturally, you know, we need to think, and this is just an example because my wife totally deserves flowers. But, you know, I might think in my flesh, well, you know what? She's not been, you know, paying attention to me or whatever, and I shouldn't have to express love through flowers, and, I've got better things to do with the money, and I don't think she'll appreciate it. You know, that's all not true of my wife. That's right, and those are all hers, and she deserves those. But, you know, the Lord is using our human relationships to change us when we let him, when we do it his way, okay? That's the key. We have to understand that we are to love like Jesus loves and to forgive like he lives, forgives, and to hope in people that seem hopeless, to hope for them the way that Jesus hopes for us. But I think a lot of times couples find themselves in a cycle where the husband neglects the wife feels hurt, and because she feels hurt, she starts unloading on him how hurt she is and how he's failed her. And so men don't like criticism, so they run away because she's hurt and she's blaming him for being hurt, which it is his fault, but he's running away now, and it causes division. And so we get in this vicious cycle of hurt and being critical with each other. The great thing is, as Christians, is that we can take it to the Lord and recognize that in our flesh, we can't do this. None of us can be the husband that God calls us to be or the wife that God calls us to be apart from him. It's the Holy Spirit living in us that makes that possible. And so we can ask the Lord, we can say, God, I can't do this, but I believe you in me, that the Holy Spirit in me, you can. You can forgive this person. You can love this person. You can encourage and respect this person in a way that I can't do, and you can do this through me. And he does. The next point, I'm going to move this along a little bit. I know I've taken a while, but we can only thrive in our relationships when we abide in the Lord's supernatural love for us. The key to getting along with anybody, whether it's your spouse or your neighbor or your coworker or anybody, the key to inviting Jesus to come into the situation, to inviting the Holy Spirit to move in power and reconcile and redeem and do things you can't do, is for you to stay connected to him so that he can work through you in that situation. So in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul pointed out that Jesus loves us as a model for husband and wife relationships, and that even though we can't be the husband and wife he calls us to be on our own, that his presence through us in our hearts and the Holy Spirit can remind us of what he's calling us to and then give us the power to live that out. And so we need to abide in Christ in order to be able to follow his example and be who he calls us to be. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, a lot of you know this is often referred to as the love chapter in the Bible. And if you would, I'd like you to read this with me out loud. I'm going to have this on the screen so we can read from the same translation. I'm sorry, can you guys read that? Is that too small? Okay, I can read it for us. If you can't read it, that's okay. I won't be hurt. You can call this up on your app or something too if you want. But it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I think that's the New Living Translation. I think it's really, really a good one. I love to use that chapter as a check for me, and a lot of times it reveals a lot of how I'm doing with my wife. And I just want to encourage you to do this as well in your relationship, not only with a spouse, but with a child, with a parent, with a boss, with a neighbor, with whomever, maybe somebody at school for the younger folks, but take out love and take out those pronouns for love there and insert your name and see whether it really applies to you or not in how you interact with people, especially a spouse. So I would say, and you could say this, you could say your own name here, James is patient and kind. James is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. James does not demand his own way. James is not irritable, and James keeps no records of being wronged. James does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. James never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That helps my prayer life, because I can't live up to that. You know, when I read that, that just lets me know to be the husband God's called me to be, I've got to have him doing it through me, because I can't do it. Just like you can't be the wife or the mom or the child or the coworker or whatever that God's calling you to be. You can't do it without him. And when you put your name in there, that perfect love, that standard of perfect love, it just lets you know that you need to ask the Lord to help you and then trust, because he will. And trust that he's going to show up and he's going to help you to love the way that he wants you to as you put your trust in him. So we're getting ready to wrap up. But I wanted to share this with you this evening in case there's anybody here who has not taken that initial step of trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." His word tells us that God created us to have an amazing relationship with him, but that our sin has caused death. It's caused, there's a consequence of death. Death in the Hebrew and Greek both means separation. The Bible speaks of the first death, which is separation from your body, and second death, which is separation from God. So because all have sinned, all experience separation from God, but that's not what God wants for us. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." So even though we are undeserving, even though we're sinners, and we do not deserve God's love, bless you, we don't deserve God's love, he, because of his love, paid our sin debt for us on the cross. In Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Through faith. "This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So the scriptures tell us that Jesus went to the cross so that God could offer us a free gift. God can offer us a gift of salvation, a gift of eternal life with him, a gift of healing for our hearts and our lives. And that it's not by works, it's by faith, by trusting him. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." So if you believe, if you trust that Jesus Christ died for you in your place on the cross, that he died for your sins, and you put your trust in that, you will be saved. So I just want to encourage you, if there's anybody here tonight who has not done that yet, if you've not made that decision that you want to turn from sin and turn from living your way and turn to God in faith and live his way and receive forgiveness in Christ Jesus, you can do that tonight. So just want to encourage you to come forward, maybe during our last song or afterwards, and let me know and we can discuss that and pray about that if that might be you tonight. Sure. Mm-hmm.